All righty. How you doing, Jeff? Jeff kind of turned me on to Led Zeppelin, so I know he's very happy that I've changed the theme song for the program. And it's kind of funny because I was telling people last night that I was talking to when I was out. To whom I was speaking when I was out. And a couple of them said, good change, good change. And I said, really? I thought it was going to take some serious grief for changing the theme song that's been a theme song for the last however many decades it's been. And quite the contrary. It kind of spices things up a little bit, and I'm pretty happy with it. What do you think about some at the bottom of the hour there, Tanner? What do you think about Big and Rich? Save a Horse.
I am not familiar with that artist song or whatever that is.
Well, okay. Or Brooks and Dunn, My Maria, okay? I mean, it's going to be your call. You listen to each one. You say which one you want. I think Big and Rich had a little more punch to it, but that's just me. Anyway, welcome, guys. It's Bowerly, my loves, on News Radio 930 WBEN. And seriously, this is like the best part of my whole day, is talking with you guys and feeling like I'm doing something of some value to society for once in my life. After 5:30, you know what? I get a lot of requests from people to come on the air. But this one caught my attention because it's a fundraiser for a fire company, and they're auctioning off a fire truck. And what the PR firm did not know is I've always wanted a fire truck. I have no idea how to drive it, how to maintain it, what to do with it. I have no idea why it's being auctioned, but we'll find out. And maybe there's somebody out there with a large bankroll who is interested in buying a fire truck. I mean, every fire truck has a story. Every firefighter has a story, professional or my beloved amateurs. And, you know, another show that I want to do is people who are undervalued in society. And I will tell you two groups that stand out to me. As you know, I've got a thing for nurses. Well, I do. Registered nurses, licensed practical nurses. I've got a thing for nurses because I see way too often. I see what they do on a daily basis and a shift-by-shift basis. Tremendous respect, and tremendous respect for the letter carriers of the United States Postal Service. I don't think I've ever met a letter carrier who had an attitude. They're all so nice and so accommodating. It's amazing. Like the other day, have you been to the Cayuga Road post office, you know, by FedEx and all that stuff? Okay, so I go there, and my biggest complaint about the post-COVID era, and I'm trying to sum it up in a sentence, and I think I have the sentence, whether it's a government office or whether it is a private enterprise, here's the sentence. There's nobody there anymore. I walked into Cayuga Road during business hours. The self-service was open, but the cage was down, and there was nobody attending to customers. And I left. I might have uttered an expletive, of a fornicative variety as I left the building. But I've seen this happen. There is nobody anywhere anymore. Like, where did the people go? And you ever see that Twilight Zone episode where the astronauts end up on this planet? It turns out to be basically a mortuary. I hope I didn't blow the ending after 70 years. But that's the way I feel sometimes. Like, wow. Where did all the people go? Then I look at the traffic that Alan Harris is talking about. I'm like, all right, there they are. They're all on the road. They're not working. But seriously, the letter carriers, the reason I bring them up is I had to get this package off. And I just pulled up to a random truck, wasn't even my letter carrier. And I said, can you help me out? This is postage prepaid. Can you just like bring this in with you? He was like, oh, absolutely, sir. Like, wow. Every business should be this nice and easy with whom to deal. So letter carriers, thank you for what you do. You are appreciated by some of us. And I've got an awesome regular letter carrier. He is phenomenal. And I'll tell you something. don't ever underestimate the importance of a great letter carrier. And if a letter carrier wanted to, he or she could wreck your whole life. Suddenly you stop getting bills and your credit rating tanks. I'm just saying, good people to get on the good side of. And one more quick thing that I want to bring up here is that I want to thank the employees at the Village of Kenmore / Town of Tonawanda Hall, that beautiful building they put up during the Depression at the triangle where Delaware Avenue meets Delaware Road. Had to go to Vital Statistics there today and get my birth certificate for various reasons, and they were so incredibly nice. They could not have been any nicer to everybody who is in there to transact business. So if you work at the town clerk's office for Village of Kenmore, Town of Tonawanda, I think they're one and the same, you do a great job, and thank you for your courtesy, not just for me, but for everybody who was in there. It was super cool. So, and the best part, how many of you don't carry change around anymore? I don't carry loose change. I carry bills. I carry credit cards. No loose change. I didn't have a quarter in the car. I didn't have a spare quarter or more in my pants pocket. And you know that great feeling when you pull up to a parking meter and it's green and you sheepishly get out of the car and you look at how much time is remaining and realize 48 minutes are left on the meter. That is such an awesome way to start out the day. Right in front of the door, 48 minutes left on the meter. Yes. So in the words of Bruno Mars, tonight is going to be a good night. Mazel tov. Anyway, it's 17 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll tell you what, I hope we have time to take calls on this, because this is something that is on my mind, and frankly, it's on the mind of a lot of you, and I want to spend more time, obviously, talking about this next week, but this, I don't want to do a show on student loan forgiveness, okay? Forget that, because it's going to turn political, and I just, you know, politics to me is such a turnoff at this point. It's like, ugh. But your family, your kids, yourself, how much of a stressor, again, this is an attempt to get younger people to call in, how much of a stressor is that student loan burden on you? And I want to tell you something. There are a lot of 30-somethings and late 20-somethings who are having severe anxiety, concern, worry, and trepidation over the amount of money they owe to repay their student loans. And as I've said, and as you well know, don't need me to say this, going through a professional program, you could easily run up, I mean easily, a six-figure tab. If you go through medical school, you could easily be looking at $300,000 or more dollars in student debt before you even start your career, okay? And I know everybody thinks, you know, doctors make a boatload of money, and they, look, cardiologist is the best paying field in the specialty of medicine. I think the Erie County Health Commissioner might have them beat, though, with all the overtime during COVID, but that's another story. But how big a deal is student loan debt in your family's life? And look, I don't mind telling you, in my family's life, it's becoming a big deal. Okay, it is becoming a big deal. And like every generation, but do you remember how jealous you were when you asked your parents, how much did our house cost? And they said, $9,000. And the same house now, it would cost like $350,000. Yeah. Everything gets inflated, all right? And every generation thinks that the generation before they came along, sprouting from their mother's loins, had it easy compared to what they're going through. But I got to tell you something. Those of you who are in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, and you've got all that student loan debt, you know what? You do have it a hell of a lot harder than we had it, okay? Homes, for example, homes are through the roof. And how are you going to afford a home if you're starting your life off $50,000 in debt to the student loan, not even counting your consumer credit debt? I mean, how are you going to buy a new car? How are you going to buy a home? How are you going to come up with the money for a down payment? I mean, the choices are work for the cartels and smuggle cocaine, or so much money they have to bury it in their backyards. But, I mean, there's legitimate ways to do it. But I do not envy those of you who have these ridiculous student loan debts hanging over you like the sword of Damocles, okay? I don't know how you actually, I mean, you've got to feel almost like an indentured servant. I mean, tell me, like, how bad are you and Hawk with student loan debts? How much? How bad? How is it affecting your life? And there's a whole generation of your kids and grandkids, I'm telling you right now, and they are pooping purple because they have no idea how they're ever going to be able to afford a house. Because given the amount of money that is borrowed, if you're on the hook for $1,000 a month or $1,500 a month, you know what? That's more than my mortgage payment was on the home I bought for $130,000 20 years ago. I mean, really? 803-0930 is the phone number. Well, it's all public record. I mean, not a big deal, not a big secret. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Can't miss it. It's the one with the machine gun turret on the roof. You know, I don't know today if I'm going to have time to fully do this topic justice, but we are talking about, let me just ponder this for a moment. Think about, all right, you know, usually I'm not a big fan of people calling in saying, I'm 82, I'm 75. But think about you graduating from college and how much student loan debt you had for a bachelor's degree. Now, some of you took advantage of the GI Bill. I know my dad did after Korea. But here's the thing, and I feel guilty about this, all right? The reason... And I've told you guys this before, all right? And again, the show is not about me, but I think I'm kind of representative of some people out there who had it pretty easy for college. I had no social life in my teens and 20s, very little social life, okay? I was all about going to school and working. And because I was a full-time employee, the company for which I worked actually had a tuition reimbursement program. And I got 110% of tuition for every class in which I earned an A. And not to be a tool, but that was pretty much every class. And they paid for all books, fees. It was amazing, okay? And I will tell you, I made money going to college. It took me 6 years. That was the trade-off. I worked full-time, and it took me 6 years instead of 4 years for my bachelor's degree, and I do wish that I'd gone to law school, but I went for the lucre instead, not the loogie, but the lucre. And, you know, I think about the fact that somehow I graduated with zero student loan debt, and I think about the kids of today. I hope I'm able to touch on this Tuesday, I'm sorry, Monday rather, and get some telephone calls from you guys about this, because this is a conversation I hear out there when I'm out eating dinner or drinking tequila, when I'm out socializing. I hear people talking a lot about student loan debt, and there are two groups of people. There are the ones who have the student loan debt, and there are the parents of the ones who have the student loan debt. Student loan debt is a huge issue, and here's the problem, okay? Think about the economic ripple effects. We have an entire generation, maybe two generations now, who are so heavily into debt for their degrees that they may never escape that debt. They may be having their Social Security garnished to pay off their student loan debt. That's how heavily in debt they are. And think about what that is going to do to the economy. If you're on the hook for $800 a month for a student loan debt from 15 years ago, that new refrigerator gets a little bit out of reach. The new car, out of reach. A home, forget about it. What are you going to do about that? Going to wait for your parents to die? And then you got five siblings to fight it out with? Hardly makes murder make sense. But I want to do a show about that maybe on Monday. So could you guys maybe talk to your kids about calling in Monday starting at 2 on their student loan debt, because I am genuinely concerned about the long-term economic ramifications of student loan debt. And let's face it, if you're older, as your humble host is, we need these young people to continue to fund Social Security. So I'm just saying, there's a little bit in it for us too. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. 26 minutes after 5. Coming up, so you've always wanted to buy a fire truck. Well, we'll tell you how. There's a fundraiser, and we'll get all the information coming up from a PR dude on News Radio 930 WBEN. I can't wait for this interview. Tim Wenger, thank you for giving the okay for this. It's going to rock. Yeah, this will work. Does it make you just want to go out and buy a truck or something? Or a horse, I guess. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program. Good to be with you on a Friday. And we are awaiting a call from a public relations company, because a local fire department is going to be auctioning off a 1990s fire truck and proceeds to help save lives. And I want to find out more about this fire truck auction and why they're getting rid of the fire truck and how much the bidding is going to start and all of those kinds of things as soon as the person from the PR firm gets in touch with me. Apparently, when I said 538, they take 538 literally. So it should be interesting. It does... You know, I don't know, maybe I referenced the show too much, but it does kind of remind me of the scene where Tony Soprano is trying to make better friends for himself, and Dr. Cusimano invites him to the country club, and he's golfing with a bunch of nerds and, a bunch of respectable citizens, and he talks about, one of them says, so did you ever meet John Gotti? And Tony Soprano goes into this story about how John Gotti beat him bidding for an ice cream truck or something. And, you know, what did he do with it? What did he do? You know what? He rang the bell the entire way home. It's like, wow. So I should probably go for the fire truck situation. Okay, we are awaiting this. I can give you some of the background here as we await the PR person. I'm going to give it a couple more minutes after that. We're just going to say ixnay on the interview, which is a shame. I've been looking forward to it. The press release is, have you ever wanted to own your own fire truck? Well, you're in luck. The Lackawanna Fire Department in Lackawanna, New York is currently auctioning off a 1997 Spartan Infinity XL pumper fire truck. The truck is perfect for a construction business, landscaping company, or volunteer fire department. The online auction is open to the public at municibid.com and ends Friday, the 6th of October. New York residents are able to bid in this government auction online 24/7. The auction is important, they say. So important that they've honored their commitment to call me, I guess. All of the proceeds from this auction will go right back to the Lackawanna Fire Department. These funds can be used to buy new fire suits, new hoses, and other equipment that the fire district needs to fight fires and save lives. So that is what I have from the company. I just need to send a quick nasty gram to somebody. Hold on, guys. Sorry about this. Okay. I wish I could. I use the hunt and peck. I'm giving him 60 seconds to call in, and if they don't do it in 60 seconds, I'm just going to move on and get back into the student loan situation. I thought it would be kind of a cool story to do, but... you know, when somebody approaches you and they want to come on the air, they don't call you. Kind of makes you feel a little bit used, like a cheap one at that. 540 at News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, I believe we have somebody coming on here. I apologize for this, guys. These things happen from time to time. I become a little bit bilious and irritable. Don't mind telling you that. All right, is this the dude, Tanner? Is this the dude? Tanner behind the glass, Tanner Saunders?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is the dude. It is the dude. Okay, joining us right now is Jamil Farouk, and he is the director of sales at Municibid, which is spelled, by the way, Muni, M-U-N-I-C-I-B-I-D. So, Municibid. Let's get to Farouk right now on WBEN. And, sir, first of all, tell us all of the specifications of this fire truck. I know it's a 1990s pumper. Is it on Carfax?
At the moment, I'm not sure if a Carfax report has been pulled for this. It's up to the seller to disclose that. So we're an online marketplace for auctions for governments and schools, and they come and list their items, and we market them to the general public or other governments who wish to buy them. But from what I understand from the listing, this looks like a great truck. It's got a Cummins M1 320 horsepower turbocharged engine, an Allison 5-speed automatic transmission with electronic controls. You know, it's got a 750-gallon fiberglass water tank, and it seems to be in great shape. The pump was certified in 2022, and the inspections as recent as 2022 as well. So it seems to be a great piece of equipment, and we hope that it finds a great second home and second life in service somewhere else.
Well, we're talking with Jamil Farouk from Municibid.com about Lackawanna auctioning off a 1990s fire truck. I presume that you do this all the time, auction off old fire equipment. Am I correct?
Absolutely. We auction off anything that a government can declare a surplus. So that can include fire equipment, that can have heavy equipment, it can be vehicles, down to you know, something that a fire station would use, whether it be axes, oxygen tanks, radios, you know, fire suits, whatever it may be.
Would you sell me an M1 Abrams just out of curiosity? Do you have
I think that's probably coming from a department of the government that we can't deal with that equipment. But you know what? We do deal in military surplus, and we've sold everything from retired Humvees to military transport vehicles and so forth. So cool. There are some things that are not off limits to civilians.
Any stealth personnel suits?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
I'm just asking. They exist. And I know more about them than any civilian in the world. Talking with Municibid.com. So getting back to the auctioning off of fire trucks, typically speaking, a vehicle of this vintage, which is a pumper, is it still a serviceable firefighting apparatus?
So to my knowledge, you know, we sell fire apparatus in all different types of conditions. Some of them go back into service. Some of them will end up as collector's items. Some of them are used in different scenarios. So, for example, you might have a construction company that needs the capacity to have water at a construction site. So, you know, it has a multitude of second lives that or second or third lives, really, that these equipment can have. But from what I can tell on this one, this is a perfectly usable truck. It may need a little bit of work. It may need some inspection and recertification, but I can see it having a second life somewhere else for sure.
Now, right now, I'm looking at the online listing for it. The current price, now there's no reserve on this. There's a 9% buyer's fee, which is not atypical for an auction. Current price is $2,700, and there are 7 days and 21 hours left for people during which to place their bid. Given the age of the truck and the equipment on the truck, similar vehicles have sold for how much?
Well, you know, that's a tough thing for us to say, because when we deal in surplus, no two items are alike. I will tell you that generally our marketing team does a good job pushing this out to the general public and advertising these listings. So as it is similar to most auctions, the heavy listing and bidding will take place in the last few days down to the last few minutes. So it's not uncommon for us to see something that is hovering at $3,000-$4,000 and get to 10 or 15 or more, right? So, you know, it's a great thing in the sense that we look at, you know, how many times this item has been viewed versus people watching it. And, you know, generally early on in an auction, the folks who are bidding are kind of throwing in their hat to see what happens. But over time, you'll see towards the end of the auction, item prices tend to have a tendency to soar.
Yeah, I've seen that myself. I've been in some bidding wars online. They get nasty, and it becomes an ego thing after a while. I'm getting this thing. You're not getting it. So the fire trucks, in particular the pumpers that you have already sold at municibid.com, are most of them bought by other fire departments? Are most of them bought by construction companies? Are most of them bought by private collectors who've just got a thing for fire trucks? Give us the demographic of the typical buyer of a used piece of fire apparatus like this.
Yeah, so it could be other fire companies looking to put them into service, or oftentimes, you know, they may have a similar truck which may benefit from purchasing another truck that they can use for parts or as a secondary truck to repair. But really, it runs the gamut. We predominantly see them going back into service or finding a second life elsewhere, whether it be an application such as a construction company, collector, or, you know, these things can be used for training as well. So they may not be out in the field, again, putting out fires, but they can be used to train volunteer firefighter departments. They can be used for public safety initiatives. They can be used for community education, you know, at fairs, during fire and safety training for the general public. So they really, you know, they stand out in the crowd for sure. There's something really wonderful to look at, and I think everybody, you know, since childhood may be awe-inspired by a fire truck. So however it's put to use, it's going to find something serviceable and something useful to do in its second life for sure.
Okay, I have to ask the question. Whenever somebody's selling something used, I always wonder, why is the Lackawanna Fire Department getting rid of this 1990s fire truck?
Yeah, so, I mean, generally, you know, they are getting rid of it for similar reasons to anyone else. They may be replacing or putting the funds towards replacing this equipment. They may be putting the fund towards replacing various pieces of equipment that they need. It could go back into public safety initiatives in the community. It could go back into community improvement initiatives. So governments really have the opportunity. I think the biggest thing here is that, you know, we really provide a platform that allows someone to take something that has served them well and find a second life for it elsewhere, where the buyer may be able to obtain it at a value that they wouldn't get in the open market elsewhere and put it to use again. And those funds, you know, while we have a 9% buyer's fee, our profit center is the buyer, not the government. So we always allow the fire department, the police department, the public works department, whoever is selling, to retain 100% of that final sale price and do what they will with that to better their communities.
So this is pretty cool. The Lackawanna Fire Department is auctioning off a 1990s fire truck, and you can track it down at municibid.com. That's munis-i, like municipality, but it's municibid.com. Just do a search for Lackawanna Fire Department. I'm sure it'll pop up fire truck for sale. We're talking with Jameel Farouk with municibid.com, because the Lackawanna Fire Department is auctioning off a 1990s fire truck, and it's just not every day I get to talk about a fire truck being auctioned. One thing I don't know that maybe you can clear up, although I'm presuming you're not an expert on New York State vehicle and traffic law or any applicable federal regulations. I mean, I've got just a regular driver's license. So if I bought this and I wanted to drive it home, I wouldn't be able to, right?
Well, it is listed as that it's currently drivable off the lot. However, it's not inspected. So, you know, it would be up to the buyer to work with the seller to understand what the local laws and regulations will permit and don't permit. The good thing is that there is a point of contact that's on the listing, and they have made themselves available to set up inspections. Also, you know, on the listing itself, buyers can ask questions in an open forum, which can be answered by the seller as well. So if there's any questions on how this item is picked up, removed, and transported off the lot, I would encourage potential bidders to ask those questions before placing a bid and allowing the seller to respond so they can feel assured and confident in what they need to do to make sure that they can purchase this safely and do it the right way.
So, I mean, this is all pretty cool. I have to tell you, I've never done, all these years doing this, I've never done an interview on a fire truck being auctioned off. And obviously, like anything else, I mean, people need a revenue stream, people need income, and things do become outdated, and it's 2023. This truck goes back to the 1990s. It officially would be a classic fire truck. But what's the most unusual question you've received about this particular fire truck so far?
Well, so far, we haven't gotten any questions on this fire truck that have been public to us. I can, you know, tell you that, you know, some people want to use this stuff as hobbyists, so they're very curious in terms of what ability they have to operate, you know, the pumps or certain operating systems on the truck itself as a civilian and how they can do that safely and so forth. But there hasn't been any particular questions asked about this truck, which leads me to believe that of the bidders that are looking to buy it, they have a good understanding of what they're getting into. The seller has put in a detailed description, which allows them to understand what they're buying. And that's a good sign. I think that all parties are going about this the right way.
Jamil, have you any idea how irresponsible it would be for you to sell me this fire truck? I'm sorry, but say kid in a candy store. I'd make it about a mile down the road before I'd pull over. Jamil, thank you very much for joining us, and give the website where people should go. Spell it out so people can check out the fire truck.
Sure, it's municibid.com. That's M as in Mary, U N as in Nancy, I C I B as in boy, I D as in David.com.
Well, I wish you good luck on the sale. You get the 9% buyer's premium. The Lackawanna Fire Department will get the proceeds, not the buyer's premium, but that's standard for any auction, of course. I want to thank you very much for joining us, and I hope some money is raised. And this was the first on the show, Jamil, so thanks a million. I appreciate it.
Thanks a bunch. We really appreciate you guys for having us, and have a wonderful weekend.
And again, M1 Abrams, think of me, if you would.
I certainly will. Certainly I
could
will.
Use. We could use that for a Buffalo winter. I'm just saying. Jamil Farouk.
If one shows up, I won't forget you. I promise he'll be the first.
Thank you. Thank you. Try to justify that to certain people. All right. Thank you so much. Jamil Farouk from municibid.com. And you can look up the Lackawanna Fire Department truck there. Hey, guys, can I just thank you for a pretty awesome week of radio shows? You guys were great as callers. Everything went seamlessly, and give it up for Tanner Saunders, the man behind the glass. He's mastered his craft in almost record time, and we appreciate the work done by Tanner Saunders on a daily basis. If not for Tanner Saunders, this show wouldn't exist. He could take us off the air at any time. But instead, he dedicates selflessly his life to flawless perfection on a daily basis, doing the job to the best of his ability, which is better than anybody else on the whole planet. Tanner Saunders. Coming up, a guy we can say the same thing about in the news department, Tom Puckett with Buffalo's Evening News from 6 until 7. And then Monday, I'll be back from 2 to 6 to run this ship onto the rocks again. But Monday morning starts off with Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Famer Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski and a new morning, all the news you need from 5 until 9. 9 until 10, it's BMAZ, that's Brian Mazurowski, and Beamer, Joe Beamer, followed by Medal of Honor recipient David Bellavia from 10 until 2. And again, the idiot with the microphone steps in from 2 to 6. Have a great weekend, and I'm sure I'll see you around town on News Radio 930 WBEN. Ciao.